Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Hello and welcome to Reality Check. Today is Tuesday, the 29th of September, 2009. And I'm your host, Tony Pittman. And this is episode 9 of Reality Check here on Joy 94.9. Reality Check is a show designed to give you a healthy dose of reality. And we do that by promoting the art of critical thinking and skeptical analysis. Each week we bring you a roundup of LGBT news, followed by an in-depth analysis of an issue related to the paranormal or the pseudoscientific. And finally, we wrap up each show with a movie review. On today's show, after our LGBT news roundup, we'll talk about the sins of our national broadcaster, the ABC, when it comes to promoting highly dubious pseudoscience. Then, in our movie review section, we'll review the new Hong Kong thriller, Accident. So stay tuned for all that and more here on Reality Check on Joy 94.9. Okay, here's our LGBT news roundup for the last week or so. And our first item comes from a city with a long and turbulent history, Rome, where 30,000 people marched with torches last Thursday night in a protest against a recent spate of violence against LGBT people in Rome and several other cities in Italy. According to the Associated Press, the demonstration, which ended up at the Colosseum, was led by groups and politicians from all of the main political parties to condemn recent stabbings, bombings, and beatings. In August, in incidents in Rome and Naples, several gay men were stabbed and assaulted in apparently homophobic attacks. And on August 29th, a gay disco in Rome was set on fire in an arson attack. Fortunately, it was closed at the time, so no one was hurt. Then on September 2nd, two large firecrackers were thrown into a crowd of passers-by by two skinheads in the main street of Rome's gay district. One man was injured in that attack. So things looking a bit nasty there in Rome at the moment for LGBT people. Let's hope that things calm down there in the very near future. Now, staying in Europe, let's move north to Scotland, where as of yesterday, Monday, the 28th of September, same-sex couples now have exactly the same rights to adopt children as opposite-sex couples do. That reform now brings Scotland into line with England and Wales, which also allow adoption for same-sex couples. Previously, gay people in Scotland could only adopt as individuals, but the new law will give that right to both members of a same-sex couple. So, good news there from Scotland. It seems that the right for same-sex couples to adopt children, just like the right for same-sex couples to get married, is one of those civil rights reforms that is gradually spreading around the world. And you can be sure, dear listener, that we'll keep you up to date as it does here on Reality Check. And speaking of adoption, that brings us to our third news item, which is a study released last week by researchers from the University of Texas and East Carolina University, a study that found no significant difference in emotional problems experienced by children brought up by same-sex adoptive parents from those brought up by opposite-sex ones. The study was actually a pretty big one. They surveyed 1,384 couples, 155 of whom were same-sex couples. Scott Ryan, the Dean of the University of Texas School of Social Work, said, and I quote, "Our research shows that there is no difference in children raised by gay or lesbian parents and heterosexual parents. People are people." So, if the sex of the parents didn't make a difference in how well the kids developed, what did? Well, researchers said that if parents were satisfied with the adoption process, if they had a stable income and functioned well as a family, these all led to a more successful adoption and less emotional problems for the children. So there you go, something that we knew already, but always helpful to get another good quality, large-scale scientific study to back it up. Now, interestingly, although the issue of same-sex marriage has created a huge national debate in the United States, the issue of adoption by same-sex couples hasn't really, and in fact, most of the states in the US have actually allowed adoption by same-sex couples for years. Whereas in many other parts of the world, like Europe or Australia, for example, the issue of adoption is usually seen as more controversial and politically problematic than the issue of same-sex relationship recognition. It's a rather odd discrepancy there in the United States as compared to the rest of the Western world, and I don't know the explanation for that. Maybe a listener out there can let us know. Now, our final news item today, and very briefly because it did receive big news coverage last week in the mainstream media, so I'm sure most people heard about it, and that is the breakthrough in the development of a vaccine against HIV. Now, we reported here on Reality Check a few weeks ago on another development in HIV research, which involved identifying two antibodies that seemed to work against all strains of HIV, and that breakthrough has potential in developing a vaccine. Now, the news last week was that an HIV vaccine trial of 16,000 people in Thailand that went for 7 years found that two experimental vaccines used together appeared to cut HIV infection rates by about one-third. Of the 16,000 volunteers, half were given the two experimental vaccines, and half were given a placebo. At the end of the 7 years, it was found that 74 people in the placebo group had contracted HIV, while 51 of those in the vaccinated group were infected. That is a difference of 31% between the two groups. So with the news from a few weeks ago and that most recent news from last week, it seems that a vaccine against HIV has suddenly become much more plausible and even probable. So let's hope that great developments like this keep coming thick and fast. All right, that brings us to an end of our news section for today. Let's listen to a song, and when we come back, we'll look at how the ABC is letting down the entire country by broadcasting way too much pseudoscience. So stay tuned for that after this song here on Joy 94.9.
Today is a wonderful day with Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Reality Check here on Joy 94.9. I'm Tony Pittman, and the song you just heard there was All I Know by Norwegian singer Annalie Drecker. All right, now we move into the part of the show where we get into a skeptical analysis of topics related to the paranormal and the pseudoscientific. And today we're going to get into a critical analysis of the sometimes appalling performance of our national public broadcaster when it comes to topics related to pseudoscience and the paranormal. We're talking here, of course, about the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, otherwise known as the ABC, or affectionately known as Auntie. Now, I'm going to, first of all, look at some examples of bad science reporting from ABC Radio and ABC Online News, and then we'll hear an interview with Steve Roberts from the Australian Skeptics about some recent examples of where ABC television has also gone seriously awry. So first of all, why focus on the ABC? Surely you can find examples of appalling reporting of the paranormal and the pseudoscientific on all TV channels and radio stations. Well, that's absolutely true. You can very easily find completely uncritical and credulous news reports or TV specials every single day. And I think that those channels and those producers can be justifiably criticized for perpetuating unscientific nonsense. But when it's the ABC that's doing it, it's worthy of particular criticism, I reckon. Because when the commercial channels broadcast that kind of rubbish, they can justify it to some extent. They are, after all, purely commercial operations, and they exist to maximize their ratings, to earn more money from selling advertising, all to make greater profits for their owners. And we live in a society in which freedom of expression is a fundamental principle, so they can pretty much, within certain limits, say and broadcast whatever they want to get ratings. We can still criticize them and should do so on moral grounds, but legally they're probably within their rights. When it's the ABC, though, the situation is a bit different. The ABC is the national public broadcaster, funded almost entirely from the public purse. Therefore, we all have a much more direct interest in what it says and broadcasts. And its mission is not to maximize ratings by whatever means necessary. In fact, the ABC's mission is specifically set out in its charter. And part of that mission in the charter is to inform the public and also to broadcast programs of an educational nature. A bit more relevant for us for today's discussion is that in addition to the charter, the ABC has its own code of practice that deals with, amongst other things, how it should present news and current affairs, as well as topical and factual content. Now, let me just briefly quote some lines here from the ABC's code of practice. Content will be accurate, impartial, and objective, and thereby avoid bias. One perspective will not be unduly favored over others. Balance will be sought. As far as possible, principal relevant views on matters of importance will be presented. The ABC is committed to impartiality, where topical and factual content deals with matters of contention or public debate. A diversity of principal relevant perspectives should be demonstrated, etc., etc. I think you get the idea. So basically, when it comes to content, the ABC code of practice is all about being impartial and objective and avoiding bias. Which, when you think about it, actually sounds a lot like critical thinking. So actually, to sum up, the ABC's code of practice pretty much requires the ABC to apply the techniques of critical thinking to the content that it presents. Which sounds fantastic in theory, Unfortunately, though, some of the journalists and producers within the ABC don't seem to know how to do this, or don't seem to care. Now, before we get into a few examples of bad journalism at the ABC, I'd just like to make one more preliminary comment, and that is that you often hear skeptics and scientists complain about the way in which TV or radio debates are usually set up, where the producer wants to create the appearance of balance, so brings in a scientist and then also brings in some promoter of pseudoscientific nonsense to represent what they consider the other side. Now, the complaint most often heard, and a completely valid one, is that this type of format, with one person on each side of the debate, creates the illusion that each person represents about 50% of the scientific opinion on the matter in question. So if you get a climate change expert on one side and a climate change denier on the other side, it creates the appearance that the scientific community is evenly split into these two camps. Whereas the reality is normally nothing like that. For example, on the issue of climate change, probably over 99% of climate scientists recognize that climate change is occurring, and those who actually deny it represent an extreme fringe of scientists working in that field. The same thing can happen with alternative medicines. A debate between a doctor who practices science-based medicine and a homeopath, for example, creates the illusion that these are both equally valid medical ways to treat an illness. Whereas the reality, of course, is that homeopathy has never been shown to have any scientific validity whatsoever, and so is never part of a real medical debate. Now, I'd like to add one more observation about these types of debates, and often the debate is set up between the believer on the one hand, that is the psychic or the ghost hunter or the homeopath or whoever, and the skeptic on the other side. Now, I think that this, with a believer against a skeptic, this arrangement also creates a false sense of balance, because I think that type of debate misrepresents what a skeptic is. The skeptic should be the mediator or the interviewer. A skeptic is a person who weighs up the evidence and bases his or her belief or conclusion on the evidence, which is the only rational way to approach any of these issues. A skeptic applies critical thinking. So in the case of the ABC, where its code of practice requires it to approach issues with critical thinking, the presenter or interviewer should be a skeptic. And if the TV and radio stations really want a balanced debate, then put a believer on one side, and on the other side put a debunker, a person who says psychic powers don't exist, or whatever. That's a more balanced debate format if what you want is two sides representing opposite opinions. Because a skeptic doesn't represent the opposite of a believer. The opposite of a believer is a debunker. The skeptic should be in the middle. But the important point is that the interviewer or the presenter should always be a skeptic and should apply critical thinking to the claims they hear, whether from the believer or from the debunker. And that's where the ABC constantly falls down, in my opinion. Because ABC radio constantly includes interviews with astrologers, naturopaths, homeopaths, acupuncturists, and all kinds of practitioners of completely unscientific so-called alternative medicines. Now, I don't listen to ABC radio that much, but on the occasions that I do, I often hear these completely uncritical interviews with these types of practitioners. And the problem is most serious, I think, I suspect, in all those scores of local ABC radio stations across the country that have to find their own content to fill in large chunks of the day. And a lot of them do it by using interviews with these practitioners of woo, as world-famous skeptic James Randi would call them. That is, the practitioners of pseudoscience and the paranormal. Now, for example, a few weeks ago, I happened to be listening to ABC local radio in Sale in Gippsland in eastern Victoria. And the presenter did an interview with, get this, an expert in astrological gardening. That is, using astrology to decide when to plant what in your garden. Now, I'll spare you all the mind-numbingly stupid details of that interview, but really, the most disappointing aspect of the whole affair wasn't what the astrologer said, it was the way the interviewer just accepted the completely ludicrous things her guest was saying. And about the toughest question she asked in the whole interview was, "Gee, really?" And I'm not joking. Now, another recent example comes from ABC News Online. A couple of weeks ago, ABC Online News published an article about the swine flu vaccine entitled, "Vaccine Could Be More Dangerous Than Swine Flu." And the article cited Meryl Dorey of the anti-vaccination lobby as if she were some kind of credible scientific authority on the issue. Well, she's not. Let me make it perfectly clear. She's not an authority on vaccination. Fortunately, the ABC got heavily criticized for this, and rightly so. But the article is still online as news, perpetuating completely unjustified fears about vaccines. Although, fortunately, they have now toned down their ridiculously alarmist headline. By the way, dear listener, the anti-vaccination lobby that actually deceptively calls itself the Australian Vaccination Network is one of the most pernicious, vile, and despicable anti-science lobby groups operating in Australia today. And this is the ABC, your ABC, giving them a voice. Now, another egregious example of bad practice at the ABC comes from the show Nightlife with Tony Delroy, broadcast from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. every weeknight across the entire country on all ABC local radio stations and in all the capital cities. And Nightlife regularly features completely uncritical sessions with what the show calls its resident GP and naturopath, Dr. Giselle Cook. She talks about naturopathic remedies, and she even gives naturopathic health advice to the callers. Let me remind you, listener, naturopathy is not based on science. It's based on pseudoscience, completely unproven and in many cases unsound notions about how the body heals itself. But guess what, dear listener? It gets even worse. The cherry on the cake, or maybe more accurately, the nail in the coffin, is that Giselle Cook, the naturopath who gets to give health advice to the nation every few weeks on a high-rating national ABC radio show, Giselle Cook is also allied to, well, guess who? You guessed it. The anti-vaccination lobby. Oh, sorry, I mean the Australian Vaccination Network. Back in May this year, the Channel 7 show, Sunday Night, held a live in-studio debate on the issue of vaccination. And the doctor representing the anti-vaxxers was none other than Giselle Cook. Now, I don't know if the issue of vaccination has ever come up on the Nightlife radio show, But the ABC gives this woman a regular forum to spout her highly dubious health advice to a wide national audience. And this is the ABC that we're all paying for, and that, according to its own code of practice, is supposed to apply critical thinking. Frankly, I think the fact that they allow her on the show is quite simply completely unacceptable. All right, now let's listen to a song, and when we come back, we'll hear an interview with Steve Roberts from the Australian Skeptics talking about some of the Bent Spoon Awards that ABC Television has won over the last few years. What's a Bent Spoon Award, I hear you ask? Well, stay tuned here on Joy 94.9 and you'll find out.
Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Over 200 volunteers bring you joy every week. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. The show is Reality Check, and I'm your host, Tony Pittman. And the song you just heard there was Shut Your Eyes by Scottish band Snow Patrol. Now, we're going to continue with our analysis of some of the bad decisions made within the ABC. And to do that, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Steve Roberts from the Australian Skeptics here in Melbourne. Now, Steve came into the studio a few hours ago and I recorded this interview with him. So let's go ahead right now and hear that interview. I'm joined in the studio now by Dr. Steve Roberts from the Australian Skeptics Victorian branch.
Hello, Tony.
Hi, Dr. Steve. First of all, can you just give us a little bit of your background?
Look, I got a PhD in chemistry and I've been working in science all my life. I run a test lab, break codes, mathematics, physics, that sort of thing. I got into the skeptics because I used to be a UFO believer long, long ago when I was a kid. I thought there was something going on, and we were in this UFO group and we made a fatal mistake. We got hold of the evidence and analysed it, and we found there was nothing to it. And then we began to wonder, well, what is going on? So we all became skeptics at that point. But that wasn't how I joined the Australian skeptics. I found them later. But the skeptics are defenders of science. We raise a voice if somebody makes a preposterous claim, like I've got a pet dinosaur in my backyard, then somebody should say, well, can we come and look at it? And it's a public service, you could say.
Yeah.
we are open-minded. I mean, if there's evidence presented to us, we will believe it. And our opponents don't seem to be able to realise this, that if they can actually show us the dinosaur, then we will admit, you know, that is a dinosaur. And
we'll
condone it after that.
Now, let's get to the topic at hand, which is our national public broadcast of the ABC. And I saw on the Australian Skeptics website that one thing that the skeptics do every year is issue an award called the Bent Spoon Award. And I noticed that for three of the last 5 years, the ABC has been the recipient of that award. So first of all, Steve, can you just tell us, what is this Bent Spoon Award? What are the criteria and how is it given?
Well, it's awarded every year within Australia to the most preposterous piece of paranormal piffle, as we describe it. If somebody makes a really ludicrous claim that everybody can see is just completely off the planet, then the skeptics like to commemorate that with some kind of award. And, we had a psychic who believed that Adelaide was about to be the subject of a cosmic flood, which didn't happen, of course. And people have found monsters in the bush, or claim they have. And, of course, the original spoon bending itself was would have been a subject for the award if that was further back in time. People making outlandish claims for preposterous gadgets and devices. There have been a few of those in the past, but the ABC, of course, is an easy target because it is so large and heterogeneous, but really they fall within our gaze because they are the national broadcaster, and if they broadcast something paranormal and silly, that sort of gives a certain dignity to that topic, which is not deserved. Now, if one of the commercial channels broadcast it, everybody knows they're just in it for the money, and there's no problem with that. They're not there to broadcast the truth necessarily, they're just there to entertain. And actually, the ABC's charter is to entertain rather than to broadcast truth. But really, as a national broadcaster, they should broadcast truth and maintain a sort of high dignity on the topics they cover.
Yeah, that's right. There is a certain prestige associated with what the ABC does and says. Yeah.
Mm.
Now, I just want to get into the specifics of some of these Bent Spoon Awards from the last few years. I see that in 2004, the Skeptics gave the award to the ABC, particularly for its show The New Inventors, and particularly for the way they covered something called the anti-bio water conditioning system. Can you tell us a bit about this?
I remember that now, yeah. It was a device based on some paranormal principle that wasn't in the least scientific, but somebody got on the New Inventors with it and said, this device, you plug it in and it generates a sound or makes a vibration which magnetizes the water or something like that. It was all completely cockeyed.
Right.
And we thought that shouldn't have got onto the show. I mean, there's lots of inventors invent things like that, and they fall the way of, you know, things that conflict with science.
Right.
But the ABC shouldn't have given credence to it. It was really that particular show that got somebody's goat, and we thought they shouldn't have covered that. Normally it's quite a good show, The New Inventors. You know, it's nice to foster interest. It's quite well presented. It's entertaining, and some of the inventions are quite good, and hopefully, you know, we hope some of them will catch on and make money and benefit humanity. But this particular thing was just a rip-off, and it couldn't have worked. And anybody with sort of year 12 science could see that it couldn't have worked,
right.
But they gave it an airing nevertheless.
Right. Something obviously absurd shouldn't even get onto the show in the first place.
Yeah, but obviously some producer, I mean, the people who put the show together aren't actually necessarily scientifically informed, so stuff is going to get through there that might get through the system, but it really should have been spotted.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody with a bit of brains would have spotted that. So.
And now, the second one was in 2005. The Bent Spoon Award was given to the ABC again for a television program, Second Opinion. Now, I have to say, I don't know anything about this. Please enlighten
us. Second Opinion. It was a program that covered alternative medicine. And I think it was on at 8 o'clock or 6:30. It was on in prime time anyway. And they had some girls, basically, and a couple of alternative medicine practitioners and a few doctors who dabble in alternative medicine, because there are some out there. There are validly qualified doctors who dabble in alt med, as it's called, and also practice conventional medicine. And they were giving a lot of airtime to the notion that alternative medicine might work in some cases or in all cases. And this sort of thing can lead to a lot of damage. You really want a second opinion about second opinion if they're going to come up with that. If you take someone like homeopathy, for example, that's fairly rife all over the place. It's big in Germany, and the British royal family are berserk about it. If you get some kind of ailment like influenza, you know, you sneeze and there's germs everywhere, and that can be either cured scientifically or the symptoms can be got rid of scientifically, and some things can't be cured scientifically, but homeopathy claims to cure all these things, using medicines that are diluted so much that there's actually no medicine left. It's just water. And people take this, and it's due to the placebo effect, which is that if you think you're getting better, then you do get better. Then, you know, people swear by this and say, I got cured of this and that by homeopathy. And they were hearing opinions like that. And we've actually had the New South Wales Minister for Health making a press release about this, that somebody issues a homeopathic vaccine for meningococcal virus, and you know, if you get meningitis, it's fatal, can be fatal, and there's a proper scientific cure for it. There's also a homeopathic cure for it, which if you take and ignore the scientific cure, it won't do you any good. It won't have any effect. And the ABC was giving credence to these opinions. But alternative medicine is the old folk remedies. Lots of things get into it, but essentially it's people's opinions of sort of natural herbs and some bizarre cures. They all get lumped together under the alt-med theme. But the big thing in common is none of this has been tested, because if it was tested and found to be effective, it would be part of conventional medicine. Mm. For example, the drug aspirin comes from willow bark, and if you take the bark off a willow tree and chew it, that will actually cure a headache. It will actually physically stop a headache. And what science has done over the years is test this, find the chemical, isolate it, and put it in pills so you get the right amount. And it's the same. You're going to get aspirin, the chemical, whether you chew willow bark or whether you take aspirin pills. But if you take the pills, it's properly dosed and has proper standards applied to it, and you know how much you're getting. And it's also been tested on rats and so on, and it's shown to work, and on humans. But some of the alt-med cures, most of them, in fact, have not been tested at all. And there's a song by Tim Minchin called Storm. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's fantastic.
He says that, you know, the alternative medicine that works is called medicine.
Surprise, surprise. That's
yeah.
right.
But anyway, the show's second opinion is all very touchy-feely and relatively harmless, but something's got into that that would, in the worst case, persuade people to leave conventional medicines in favour of wacko medicines that wouldn't have any effect.
Yeah, it all serves to perpetuate the idea out there that alternative medicine is somehow valid and that leads to harm when people rely on it for serious illness. All right, now let's get on to the third one, which was the Ben Spoon Award for 2007, which went to Marina Manzoufas, head of programming at the ABC, for authorising the television show Psychic Investigators.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. There was a big shake-up at the ABC, as happens from time to time. They get new people in here and there, and these people have new ideas. And in this particular crop of new ideas for 2007, this particular very ghastly show got put into prime time. It got repeated later at 2 in the morning, and nobody watched it then either. And they were running plugs forward and saying, this is a valid show. And on this show, they interview psychics who have investigated or are investigating crimes, so murders or whatever, looking for the Beaumont children, as an old chestnut in South Australia. These children disappeared and haven't been found, and this was years ago. And psychics keep saying, oh, I think I know where they are. And this sort of thing causes no end of distress to the people related to those involved. It's no end of distress. And the skeptics have heard from such people who say, you know, we're trying to bury this and move on. But, you know, people keep phoning us up and asking questions and saying they think they can help. And we don't want this. You know, we would like to get resolution, but, you know, it's not going to happen from psychics. And so far, there hasn't been a single psychic who's ever solved a crime. And if somebody wants to bet $100,000 with me on this, I'll take them on. So you heard it from me.
All right.
And people claim they have. You know, they say, I've helped police. And we track this down. You know, it turns out they've made a donation to the police. And, of course, the police are always happy to receive donations for police charities and the police ball and whatnot and the police beer fund or who knows what they do with it. But they'll take a donation and send you and give you a receipt. And then you can say, well, I've helped the police. Of course, the poor police have work to do. They're padding the streets when they catch criminals and investigate crimes, and the psychics don't really help at all. And there have been cases where psychics have actually hindered it, and people have died as a result. There was a hiker lost in Tasmania, lost in the bush, and instead of searching in the place where the hiker could plausibly have been, on the basis of evidence put forward by a psychic, the police looked somewhere else and didn't find him. And by the time they got around to looking in the right place, they found him, and he was dead. And he would have been alive if they hadn't gone up the wrong path. So it can be harmless fun, but in this case it wasn't.
No.
And this show is truly awful. I saw a couple of episodes, and you can see the psychics beating around the bush and trying to make vague predictions, like, you know, the body is near water, which, you know, in Melbourne, for example, would be a pretty confident claim you could make anywhere in Melbourne.
It would be hard to find the body not near
that's
water.
That's right, yeah. And you think if you can communicate with the body, if you can communicate with the spirits, you can get hold of that spirit and say, who's that coming towards you with a big knife? You know, and, you know, there might be useful information gained from this, but so far nothing's ever happened. It does hinder the investigation. And it does cause intense distress to the relatives and the people nearly, you know, the people related to the victim and so on.
Yeah, well, I have to say that I hadn't seen an episode of Psychic Investigators, but I watched one on the internet in preparation for this show. And I mean, yeah, it is appalling, and it's interesting how that fact that the information that the psychic supposedly offers to the police has never led to a conviction, they fudge that fact in the show. They kind of, they go, well, the psychic gave this information, and then later the police, you know...
It may not even be later, it may be the police found this information, and then later the psychic said, I saw that before they had that.
Yeah, exactly.
You often find that happens in that case. Yeah, it's appalling quality as well, and... the whole show, it would be a joke, and actually one of the commercial channels showed it as well later on, but they can get away with it because they're a commercial channel and their mission is to sell advertising space. Yep. And whatever gets adverts on the screen and gets people to buy the product is what they're on about. But the ABC, as I said, has at least a moral mission to put out the truth, to investigate things properly. And in this particular case, the show was scheduled as part of a new initiative of new style of programming, and there were new adverts that went with it and so on. And Marina Manzoufas was the head of programming responsible, and we wrote to the director of the ABC and said, look, we quoted his own royal charter and say, no, this they're putting the show on conflicts with your charter, and you should really make the head of programming answerable to this. And that was that. But, yeah, look, that's Vince Spoon Award, and that's what we awarded it for.
And Marina Manzoufas wasn't there to collect her award, I presume.
No, it's normally collected psychically as well. But no one's ever showed up to collect the darn thing. Everybody throws mud at the ABC. It's like the BBC in Britain, where I came from originally. It's the institution that's there to have mud thrown at it, really. And I mean, they do make a pretty good job. You know, they're reporting. I believe their reporting is impartial. People say there's a lefty bias and they're all pinkos, you know. But it turns out to be, you know, the reporting is impartial, and they're doing a pretty good job, which is not something you can say of the certain commercial media. So I think it's a bit wrong to denigrate the ABC too much. You know, just that they've made a couple of decisions, or individuals in the organisation made a couple of decisions that could have been better thought out in the name of science, and that some of the things shown thereby have actually caused damage to the community. And that's the thing that the sceptics lament and would like it. You know, we'd like to improve the world, and that would be a way to make it better.
All right, Dr. Steve Roberts, thank you very much for joining us here on Reality Check.
No worries, Tony.
So, there you have it, dear listener, Dr. Steve Roberts from the Australian Skeptics explaining why the ABC has been awarded 3 Bent Spoon Awards since 2004, and also some of the harm that can arise from the paranormal and pseudoscientific beliefs perpetuated by those shows shown on the ABC. And if you're interested in learning more about the Australian Skeptics, you can visit their website at skeptics.com.au, and that's skeptics with a K. And also on that website, you can find a list of the nominees for the 2009 Bent Spoon Award, the winner of which will be announced at the Australian Skeptics Annual Conference in Brisbane in November. And you may have noticed that during the interview, Steve mentioned the poem by Tim Minchin called Storm, and I highly recommend checking that out if you get a chance. It's very amusing, very sharp, and very skeptical. You can easily find it on YouTube. Just search Tim Minchin Storm. It goes for about 10 minutes, and well worth a listen. Now, finally, before we get into our last song for the show, if you have any questions or comments about what we've covered on the show, or maybe something you'd like us to cover on the show, please feel free to send us an email. The address is realitychecktony@gmail.com. That's realitychecktony, T-O-N-Y, @gmail.com. You can also visit our webpage too, if you like. That's at realitycheckonline.net. All right, let's listen to our final song now, and when we come back, we'll get into this week's movie review.
Today is a wonderful day with Joy 94.9.
We on today, Mum?
Oh, we're listening to 94.9.
Oh, that's nice. That's different.
Yeah, it's unusual.
It is.
Nice.
No,
yeah,
it is nice.
Nice.
You are indeed listening to Joy 94.9, and the show is Reality Check, and I'm Tony Pittman. And Reality Check is also streaming live at joy.org.au, and also available as a podcast to listen to anywhere in the world on your little pod. To hear the podcast, just go to our website, realitycheckonline.net. And the song you just heard there was J'en ai marre, meaning I'm fed up, by French singer Alizé. Now we're into the final part of the show, and that's the part where we review a film on current release here in Melbourne. And this week's selection is something slightly different, which is a new thriller from Hong Kong called Accident. Now, there are a few cinemas in Melbourne that show the latest Hong Kong action movies or comedies, and most of the time I don't bother to see them because they're generally pretty formulaic genre picks and nothing very special, nothing worth going out of your way to see. Now, I'd seen this movie, Accident, in the Melbourne film listings and presumed it was just another Hong Kong formulaic action pick. But my interest to see it was piqued when Margaret and David reviewed it on At the Movies last week, after having seen it at the Venice Film Festival, I think, and they both gave it 4 stars. Oh, just by the way, as a side, At the Movies is a great show, and it's a great show from the ABC. So the ABC does do some things very well. Now, I then read the premise for the movie, and I thought it sounded like it had potential. The plot of Accident is about a group of hitmen, well, actually 3 men and 1 woman, who kill off their victims using elaborately designed accidents made to look like random mishaps so no one will realize that it actually was a murder. Now, this goes pretty well for the gang until during one elaborately staged accident on a rainy Hong Kong night, another separate unforeseen accident occurs that kills off one of the members of the team. The leader of the group, known as the Brain, is then gripped by paranoia and doubt. Was that second accident really an accident, or was it someone else stalking them and playing them at their own game? So the premise sounds good, doesn't it? If it's well done, it could be a great popcorn action thriller with memorable sequences, paranoia, mystery, and surprises. Something like one of those Final Destination movies, but with a more interesting plot. Unfortunately, though, I have to say, in my opinion, this movie is not done very well. For a plot with so much interesting action potential, it actually gets bogged down and becomes quite slow and boring. And in the end, we actually only get to witness 3 of these elaborate accident sequences. Most of the middle part of the movie is taken up with the protagonist, the Brain, descending into a deep and disturbed state of paranoia. And that only serves to highlight another shortcoming of the film, and that is the acting of Hong Kong superstar Louis Koo, who just can't carry a leading role, at least not in this film. He's completely flat for the whole movie and brings no depth or charm to the role of the Brain. Louis Koo actually began his career as a fashion model, and if you ask me, it shows. In every shot, he looks perfectly coiffed and without a blemish, which is great. He looks good, but it doesn't suit the character, and often it seems really out of place. The worst example of this is when he has to pretend to be a construction worker in overalls and hard hat. But he doesn't look like a construction worker. He looks like a male supermodel dressed up as a construction worker who's just stepped out of the beauty salon. It's so distracting and takes you completely out of the film. Now, I was prepared to suspend my disbelief and just go along for a fun ride with this movie, but I just got annoyed in the end. And in one of the last climactic scenes, when there is suddenly an unexpected total eclipse of the sun, yes, I'm not joking, and everyone looks up at it in surprise, and their eyes don't get damaged either, I just thought, I can't suspend my disbelief anymore. This film has just moved from the boring to the ridiculous. So I'm sorry to report, dear listener, even though I would love to be able to recommend something a bit different this week, an under-the-radar new thriller from Hong Kong, I'm afraid I just can't recommend checking out Accident. And that brings us to the end of the ninth episode of Reality Check on Joy 94.9. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to send any questions, comments, or feedback to realitychecktony@gmail.com. And do visit our website at realitycheckonline.net. And remember to tune in at 1 o'clock next Tuesday for episode 10. Have a great week, everyone. See you next week.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.